my God, Matt, we are down to the final four in the Brick House NBA preview for the new season. Number four, clocking it in with the home team, the LA Clippers.
We've had to kiss 26 frogs to get to where we... I like to think that was off the cuff, but I just said that to you a few minutes ago. I just wanted to slip it into the podcast.
I pre-write a lot of my brilliant lines doing that, so I don't judge you.
Fair enough.
By the way, my name's Bob Johnson, joined here today with my good friend.
I'm Matt Baker, ready to take on the Clippers.
You know, a couple of things that we normally never said at the beginning was you can find us on Twitter at BrickHousePod. Or email us, bob@brickhousepodcast.com or matt@brickhousepodcast.com.
Do I have that?
Oh, you will, Matt.
Okay.
Oh, in due time.
Okay, good.
The inbox will probably be full by the time you get to that.
Oh, man. So many admirers.
So for their top four, I felt like, you know, if we're going to be making some weird comparisons to non-basketball things.
Sure.
They better be pretty good if they're going to be in the top four. So I guess I'll let you be the judge on this one here, Matt. I spent a lot of time thinking about what the Clippers, what analogy I could make for them. Not only are they in the top four teams, but along with the Houston Rockets, my two favorite teams in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Been following them for a few years since moving here, as they've always been more affordable than the Lakers, even now after they won 30 more games than them last season, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how a few years ago, I was getting Clippers tickets for like $8.
Yeah.
But even last year, when they're noticeably much better than the Lakers, their tickets are still much less than the Lakers. It's crazy.
I think it's all the lighting. The Lakers have this really nice lighting system that must have cost $40 billion or something.
Yeah,
they're paying it off in installments.
It's like a Broadway lighting or whatever they call it. Like I think they buy tickets hoping that at halftime, like, the Lion King will break out or or the Book of Mormon. Like, they'll see some Broadway show also. So they're,
Maybe that's what I'm missing at halftime when I'm just getting beer and standing in line to use
You could have seen all of the Lion King by now.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go, Matt. I've kept this a secret from you. So as I was thinking about what to do with the Clippers, I was having a hard time thinking of something. And so I just closed my eyes and tried to imagine, okay, what are these Clippers like? You know what happened? This Randy Newman song started playing in my head.
Yeah.
From Toy Story. You got a friend in me.
Yeah.
And just behind my eyelids, a montage of Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, like, riding bicycles together, you know, getting in a splash fight while washing each other's cars.
Yeah.
You know, eating ice cream sundaes together. These guys were just having the time of their lives, and it dawned on me that the comparison for the Clippers has got to be Toy Story.
Oh, that's brilliant. I can see it, too.
Okay, well, it'd been a while. I had to revisit the plot of Toy Story, but every plot twist I read about just seemed to coincide perfectly. So obviously Chris Paul is Woody.
Yes.
Woody is the leader.
Right.
DeAndre Jordan, in this, for the sake of this comparison, Buzz Lightyear.
Uh-huh.
So he shows up and they immediately are butting heads. You know, they're both coming from different backgrounds, different sort of understanding of what it is to be a toy, you know.
Yeah.
And anyways, so it all builds this head where Andy, the owner of the toys, he's mm-hmm. going to Pizza Planet. And his mom says he can only bring one toy with him.
Oh, right.
Woody has a feeling that it's going to be Buzz Lightyear.
Because it's the new shiny toy.
Yeah, he's got all the gadgets, gizmos. Even Bo Peep is impressed by mm-hmm. all these features that Buzz has. So in an attempt to make sure he's the toy that gets taken to Pizza Planet, he tries to trap Buzz behind a desk in Andy's room. This ends with Buzz accidentally getting knocked out of the window, which all the other toys assume Woody did on purpose.
Right.
Okay. And so what ends up happening is Woody goes out the window after him. They end up, you know, on a truck to Pizza Planet. They get to Pizza Planet. And while Woody's looking for Andy, Buzz sees a claw game that's shaped like a rocket ship. And he climbs into it thinking, like, all right, well,
this
I'm going
home. Yeah.
Yep. Taking the rocket ship home. He doesn't realize that this is a claw game at all. I equate Buzz getting into the rocket ship as DeAndre partying with Chandler Parsons and Mark Cuban for a week straight.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know what to
expect.
His
place is great. This is my new home.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, eventually, you know the story of Toy Story. Buzz and Woody become friends.
Mm-hmm.
But this is only after Sid, the next door neighbor, he takes Buzz from the claw machine. Woody is actually hanging on to his foot. And so he gets two toys for the price of one quarter in the claw machine. They take him back to the house. Mm-hmm. And there's this awkward scene, too, where Buzz loses an arm. And Woody's trying to signal the toys
in Andy's place
from across the way. And he's waving Buzz's arm, his, you know, disconnected arm.
Yeah.
And so all the toys think at this point, Chris Paul has fucking killed DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He is the reason that he is gone. He is to blame. But anyways, yeah, they do eventually, with the help of the other toys, rescue him from the evil Mark Cuban or Sid, and get him back over there to Steve Ballmer's house, where, you know, they all live happily ever after. And in this, you know, if I had to give Blake Griffin a character, I'm sorry, Blake, I love you, man.
Potato Head?
You gotta be Bo Peep.
Oh, Bo Peep.
Bo Peep. I mean, Woody is kind of, you know, I was trying to find the perfect character that's, you know, tied.
Right, that's tied to both of them.
Yeah, torn between Buzz and Woody, and it's got to be Bo Peep. Anyways, I was pretty impressed with myself on this.
That's great.
And I hope you get it.
It fits more perfectly than one would think it does.
Plus, I wish we had the rights to the You Got a Friend in Me, but, you know, you can just imagine Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, like at the ball pit and Chuck E. Cheese. You got a friend.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. It paid off. The wait paid off.
But, yeah, let's move on to our next segment. We could be comparing Clippers to toys all day long.
Previously on the Los Angeles Clippers.
All right, how did they get here? Well, they've been in the playoffs the past 4 years. Basically, the Blake Griffin, that was his sixth season this past season.
Okay. So, he had two seasons without Chris Paul.
Right.
With Baron Davis running the point.
Yeah, and then as soon as they got Chris Paul, it was all hands on deck. They started just an instant turnaround. So they have won at least 56 games the past three seasons. And another thing they do is when they get to the playoffs, they are a tough out. They lost in 7 this year to the Rockets, and they lost in 6 last year to the Thunder. But they're also a tough win, because when they win series the past years, they're also in 7 games. So they just play.
They're pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. The past 4 years have been so good for the Clippers that it really almost makes you forget that the first almost 30 years in L.A. were atrocious.
Right.
Terrible.
Well, you know, the biggest news, obviously, of the past few seasons with the Clippers was not last year, but the year before, in the midst of the first round of the playoffs, the recordings of Donald Sterling, the Clippers owner, comes out saying slanderous things about black people, you know.
Yeah.
Almost the entire team, not to mention the entire league, is black. But, you know, Adam Silver's poise and decision-making in that process, I think, have endeared him as much as he could possibly be to the players.
Yeah.
Especially at that point, right when it was happening. But it's going to be really interesting to see how that relationship that he's, you know, spent a long time curating, I guess you could say, is going to work out if and when the owners decide to lock out the players in a
Ooh,
couple of years.
Yeah. Well, that was so bad that the Clippers were thinking about not even taking place in the playoffs. They were thinking about just chucking it in.
It's not even part of the obligatory mention yet, but LeBron was saying he wouldn't play if Donald Sterling was still going to be allowed to be an owner.
Yeah, that would have been, I don't know if it would have gotten that far, but it would have been crazy.
Right.
Now, the problem for the Clippers, too, is, and granted, it is the West, so it is a Western problem, but they just run into good teams, which in the West, you're going to run into good teams every time. So
last year might have been the best first-round playoff series I've ever seen between the Clippers and the Spurs.
Yeah, that was insane.
One of them.
Got a lot of good Steve Ballmer faces, too.
He is an excited man.
Right. Well, the Clippers, so they're in that pool of teams that, unfortunately, there can only be one winner, and there can only be one winner every year.
This is year 5 for Chris Paul. and it's going on the Clippers.
Right.
And it's going to be year three for Doc Rivers. After next season, Blake and CP3 both have player options on their contracts. So
right.
The next 2 years, really. But this is the best team they ever got together. Next year, they're not going to have Josh Smith, which may be a plus or a minus for the yeah. team. It's hard to predict yeah. at this point. But, yeah, this is the best team they've ever put together in the history of their franchise.
Let's talk about who's on that team.
Well,
we can't. We have one more thing to talk about.
Yeah, we want to talk about the new owner. Other owners are gladly welcomed into their inner circle because
he's made him a lot of money.
His purchase price essentially doubled the value just about of every NBA franchise,
yeah.
if not more than doubled some of them.
Yeah.
His name's Steve Ballmer. He's rumored to have, as soon as he took over the team, banned Apple products from the locker room.
Which it's
and
hilarious.
All of his players. He took all of their iPhones and iPads and replaced them with Windows phones and Microsoft Surface tablets.
Yeah.
Pretty great. You know, it's good to have an owner who's got that competitive spirit
sure.
to him. You know, I can get behind that.
Andy, I mean, if you make $22 billion being the CEO of a company, you're pretty much going to love that company for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so. I mean, so much so, and he's loved basketball for his whole life, too. He tried to keep the Sonics in Seattle by offering $150 million to restore the Key Arena in Seattle. Didn't work out. He was also part of a group that tried to move the Sacramento Kings to Seattle, you know, Microsoft being located up there.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a quick background. You know, these Microsoft guys have pretty impressive resumes. He graduated magna cum laude from Harvard. When he was at Harvard in his dorm, he was on the same floor as fellow sophomore Bill Gates.
Mm.
Later on, one of his first jobs was at Procter & Gamble, where he shared an office with Jeffrey Immelt, who later became CEO
Jeez.
Of General Electric.
So this guy has just been around some of the biggest businessmen.
Yeah.
In the history of business.
Yeah, he's obviously a smart guy who also, yeah, just seemed to have met the right people at the right time. He was initially offered a salary of $50,000 to start at Microsoft in 1981 and was given 8% of the company at that time. He became CEO in 2000. He actually, the annual revenue at Microsoft surged from $25 billion to $70 billion under his tenure. Yeah, in terms of leading the company, his annual profit growth is higher than some of the most famous CEOs of all time.
Yeah.
The profit growth when he was there, 16.4%. It surpassed the famous General Electric CEO, Jack Welch, I think who has one of those CEO nicknames like the Slasher
or
the Ripper, you know,
okay.
just because they're famous for making a lot of profit by laying off half
right.
the company, essentially.
The not Ballmer, the other guy, you said.
Jack.
Yeah.
Jack, that's right. The major criticism of him as an owner was while Microsoft had the technology and research and development for smartphones and tablets and so on, he stopped a lot of them in their tracks because they didn't want him to compete with Microsoft's other, you know, top selling products.
Right.
So if there's anything that he could be faulted for, it's that he let Microsoft become a distant third in the competition for American smartphones and so on, but still made a ton of money. He oversaw the acquisition of Skype. And there's a little company called Xbox that has been doing pretty well for Microsoft as well.
Yeah.
As we said, he's a very competitive guy and also very exuberant for his company, for the products that they make.
Yeah, everything he does on the sideline, it's not an act. That's what he was doing. He's been doing
yeah.
for years.
There was this one article I read where one of his top executives came into his office to tell him that he was leaving Microsoft. And Steve Ballmer was, you know, a little surprised and taken aback by this. And he says to the guys, just like, okay, well, I understand. Wish I could talk you out of it. Just don't tell me you're going to Google. And he says, well, I'm going to Google. At which point, according to this, you know, executive, Ballmer threw a chair across the room and then, you know, referred to the CEO of Google at the time, saying that he was a pussy and that he had, you know, destroyed him before when he was in charge at Sun and Bell, some computer competitors previously. Yeah. And, you know, just slandered his name. Of course, he says that this executive greatly exaggerates what happened, according to his memory.
Of course.
But that's cool. That's Steve Ballmer. You can see him on the sideline. He's the one whose head looks like it's about to explode at any time.
What I like about his acquisition of the Clippers, you know, and you play poker. So in poker, when you know you have more money than the guy you're going up against, so you just put more money than you should just to kind of bully him around.
Buying the pot.
Yeah, so I think he saw that things failed with the Sonics. He saw that things failed with the Kings. When the Clippers came up, he just went and was just like, here's $2 billion.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk to anyone else because no one else is going to give you $2 billion.
I'm going to have Oprah deliver it in a,
yeah,
a briefcase, yeah, drawn by elephants.
He was not going to be denied.
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's get into the segment where we talk about who plays for the Clippers.
And now, the starting lineup for your Los Angeles Clippers!
Well, obviously, it's at point guard, Austin Rivers is going to start this year.
The coach's son.
I saw a headline. It was on ESPN. ESPN.com, just one of those little, like, blurbs. I think maybe for Grantland, just to get you to click on it. And it was how Austin Rivers turned his career around with some family help. And I instantly texted it to my buddy and was like, yeah, because his dad traded for him, then re-signed him. That's like, that's the family help. You don't, like, that literally is, I hope that you click to the article and it's one sentence. It's like, yeah, his dad traded for him, then re-signed him. But okay, so Chris Paul, J.J. Redick.
The greatest shooter in NBA
history. I don't know if any of us thought he would still be in the NBA at this point.
He's great.
Yeah, and not only in the NBA making an impact. You have to constantly know where he is because he
definitely
will make his shots. It sounds like a dumb thing to say and an obvious thing to say, but it's kind of like the thing I said about Noah when we did the Bulls preview is for as great as he was in college and as good as you might think he would be, the fact that he's still around is kind of...
I think Redick's staying power was he realized he had to learn how to be passable on defense.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been a good shooter since his college days. He comes off the picks really well.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely getting open in different ways in Doc Rivers' offense than he was, you know, just staying on the perimeter waiting for Dwight Howard to throw him the ball.
Well, like we said with Wes Matthews, Matthews is a great shooter, but he also learned how to play defense. He also figured, like, and that's why he's making tons of money.
Yeah.
You can be a shooter out there, but at some point, if you can't play defense, then you're just going to get thrown to the bench.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce, small forward, hoping to get some of those playoff big shots.
Yeah, he's definitely headlining 8 new players for the Clippers this year.
Wow.
8 new players. Some of the only guys that are, there's only a couple guys that we haven't talked about that are still on the team from last year. The human highlight reel, Bo Peep, Blake Griffin. And also, of course, Buzz Lightyear, who's come back for another round at Andy's house, DeAndre Jordan.
Craziest few days in NBA free agency history.
In a while. The craziest few days in free agency that didn't involve LeBron James.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, so there's only 6 players that are back from last year. Paul, Redick, Griffin, Jordan, Jamal Crawford.
Austin Rivers.
And Austin Rivers. Now, everybody else is brand new. And it's a good thing, too, because the Clippers had a really good team last year. Was, you know, one quarter away from the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
And they did it with Big Baby Davis as their best player off
the
bench.
That was crazy. That team last year...
Who's not even in the NBA this year.
Yeah, that team last year, when they were throwing Spencer Hawes out there, Turkoglu, they were just trying to find people and just say, please just go give us one good game. If we can get 82 different people to give us one good game off
Nate
the bench.
Robinson had a run. I have to say, Jamal Crawford's their best player off the bench. But other than that,
right?
Big Baby and Turkoglu were the only guys getting minutes, yeah.
Now, you just said Redick and Pierce starting at the 2 and 3. Do we think Stevenson comes off the bench, or do we think that...
I heard Wesley Johnson actually might get the start over Paul Pierce. Doc Rivers was saying that at Media Day.
Well, that's a silly thing to say. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a Wes Johnson gets the start, plays 5 minutes, and then Pierce plays the other.
Well, Pierce is probably going to be playing less than 30 minutes a game.
There's going to be games in the middle of the season where he probably doesn't even play, or he plays 10 minutes. The key for Pierce is it doesn't matter what he does in the regular season. You just need him for the playoffs.
Right. So, let's go through some of those other pickups. Lance Stephenson, they traded Spencer Hawes for. It was essentially players that hadn't worked out on both teams. Yeah. Stephenson for the Hornets and Spencer Hawes for the Clippers. So they had similar contracts, swapped those out. Stephenson had a terrible year last year, but a good few years in Indiana. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, last year, Chris Paul yelling at DeAndre and Blake at everybody on his team who are all NBA players is one thing. Another one is Lance Stephenson, averaging more turnovers than, rebounds and assists combined.
Right.
That could really, really set Chris Paul off, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it will be interesting and slightly scary for Clippers fans, potentially.
And then they signed Josh Smith and Pablo Prigioni, both who had a hand in beating them for the Houston Rockets last year.
Yeah.
Especially Smith, who turned into what Bill Simmons is calling the left-handed LeBron James for the fourth quarter of Game 6.
Yeah,
which is not far off. I was there in person for one of the most shocking comebacks I've ever seen.
Yeah, Josh Smith does things like that. It just makes people more upset with him, because it reminds you of like all the dumb
potential,
all the dumb things he does. And if he just reins it in and actually plays with like a normal person, he's really good.
Yeah.
Or could be really good.
They got Cole Aldrich to play backup center rather than Spencer Hawes this year, drafted Brandon Dawson, and then two other players, although we're not sure if they'll make the team on the roster here, Jordan Hamilton and C.J. Wilcox. Mark Cuban said it explicitly that Doc Rivers saved his job by keeping DeAndre. Now, that was probably exaggerated words, but he was definitely considered one of the worst GMs in the league last year because of the horrible bench he had put together. And then he really doubled down on that by trading to get his son, who fortunately played a lot better in his few games with the Clippers than he did his first 3 years in the NBA.
Hey, his family helped turn his career around.
But yeah, so those Toy Story games are coming up really fast. Thursday, October 29th, Dallas Mavericks come to Staples Center to play the Clippers. Second game of the season for them.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, November 11th, Clippers in Dallas. DeAndre might get the flu for that game.
Chandler Parsons revenge.
Chandler Parsons probably won't be taking him to dinner afterwards, no.
Yeah, man, poor guy. Takes the guy out to dinner, like, every night for an entire week. Yeah, man, I'm coming. I'm really excited to do this. Oh, just kidding. Sorry.
What about the crab cakes, DeAndre?
Yeah.
That mean nothing to you? Well, let's talk about how many games they're going to win. Record prediction.
They won 56. 57 last year, 56?
56 last year, 57 the year before, 56 the year before that.
Yeah.
So they finished with 56 or 57 the last 3 years.
Yeah, okay.
I predict they win 57 this year.
Yeah.
For third in the West.
57 sounds about right.
Yeah. And I gave them actually the same record as the Houston Rockets. But I think I said in the Rockets preview, giving the Clippers the slight edge because James Harden is dating Khloe Kardashian.
Right.
And I was saying that before this Lamar Odom tragedy, but that just makes it all the more pertinent, relevant.
Yeah. How could you not see that, and if you're James Harden, go,
I got to get out of here.
Yeah, 57. That sounds good to me.
Sweet, sweet. All right. Well, I got a special Sunday edition of the LeBron James mention for you.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
done this entire 27 episodes, a lot of recording during NFL games, and I don't think we really mentioned the NFL once.
No.
But I was looking for some LeBron in the news stuff and came across a funny story. So Adrian Peterson and mm-hmm. Jamal Charles were both, you know, having a festive round of shit-talking to each other in the media before the season started.
Just a festive round.
And they were both claiming that they were the LeBron James of the NFL.
Okay, all right.
Unfortunately, Jamal Charles just got injured last week.
Yes.
So the competition doesn't get to wage on every week this year in the NFL. But Peterson came out and, you know, with the injury, decided to sort of take a step back, maybe humble himself a little and say, you know what, feel bad for Jamal. If he wants to be the LeBron of the NFL, cool.
Did he say that?
He didn't say that, but what he said was, quote, I'll say I'm the Michael Jordan, Peterson said at a conference call.
Yeah.
There's always the debate, would LeBron be better than Michael? So I'll just say I'm the Michael Jordan of football.
How nice of him.
Very modest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's it. That's the LeBron James mention for the NFL fans out there. More importantly, we want to talk, we've got just a few more episodes to ask Matt some personal anecdotes.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
If I keep throwing out things like I want air conditioning and donuts, I finally listened to that episode and I stand by it. I'm in. Give me all your donuts and your air conditioning.
Good. Okay. Well, this one's Clippers themed. Okay. So let's say you have one decision in your life. Well, what is the one decision in your life that you've already made that you wish you could have a mulligan on? Meaning you wish you had a 9-day grace period to decide, like, you know what, let me take that back. Anything like that ever happened to you?
Yeah, and this, I don't know if this is quite what you're looking for, but this isn't too crazy like it is. But there is this decision kind of stuck with me. A few years ago, my friends got married, was all set to go to the wedding, and then I backed out like a month before.
Okay. What was the reason?
I just kind of let everything get to me. Like, I was really bummed I wasn't getting married. Just kidding. That wasn't the, it was in a time, and it's sort of silly, but what didn't really have any money at the job I was working at. I didn't really like the living situation I was in. The job I was at was going to give me a little more money to help, and I was hopefully going to use that to get out of the living situation.
Uh-huh.
And then I got all panicky at the prospect of spending like 8 to 10 hours of travel time one way to go there for like 30 hours.
Sure.
It was just a whole bunch of things just gave me all like a bunch of anxiety, and it all just kind of won.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, obviously, like I wasn't integral to the wedding process. The mm-hmm. wedding still went on without me, and I've seen them a bunch since. I just, it was kind of a bummer because I let a bunch of factors beat me, and yeah, that was that.
You could have been eating dinner with Chandler Parsons at that wedding.
I know. Someone could have offered me a lot of money, and then I could have been like, nah, I'll take it. Nah, I'm just going to go back to my old job. So yeah, that's one that that was the first decision that popped in my head when you texted me the question to give me a little heads up. So
nice.
I guess that's good that I don't have any like, oh,
I should have never killed that guy and buried him in Albuquerque.
That time I went to jail for, I don't know. So yeah, so that would be
insider trading. I wish I got away with it.
Yeah.
Should have never told Martha.
Martha.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I'm starting a fantasy basketball
league
with Matt. This will be my first time playing fantasy basketball. I'm getting pretty excited about it. So I've been trying to learn a little bit, do a little research.
Mm-hmm.
And the preview for this next team is all the warning or all the articles I've read about fantasy sports say, this team will kill the fantasy value of any players that go there. it's because, you know, they play in a sort of way that individual numbers aren't really emphasized, really more team sport.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And, you know, I can definitely say without a shred of doubt, who does not care about this 1%?
Yeah.
That is the coach of the next team. We'll find out who we're talking about on the next episode of Brickhouse.